Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We are live at Barlines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And coming your way to the pinnacle on November 26th will be AEW Dynamite. It returns, and Jeff Jarrett, one of our favorites, Hall of Famer, is here with us with AEW. Double J, what's up? How you doing?
All the Four Horsemen just walked in.
Yeah.
How about it, guys? Big Joe, how are you doing,
sir? I'm doing well.
Yeah. You look good today.
I'm trying. I knew
your
you were
son,
coming on.
So your big old boy over here?
He was so excited. I said, Jeff Jarrett's coming on. He's like, when and where? And he shows up. Early, right? Kids don't show up early. These days. He was 30 minutes early.
I was gonna mess with him.
Are you sure? He doesn't feel well.
I was gonna mess with him that he's such a mark wearing the AEW shirt. But no, I love it. I love it.
He's so, supporting. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, Pinnacle Thanksgiving Eve special. Dynamite, that's 2 hours live on TBS, and then the cameras will keep rolling. We're going to do Collision, which will be aired the Saturday after Thanksgiving, but Collision on TNT. So a monumental night, I dare say. I'm hearing some great things about the Pinnacle. I don't know if you guys have been in there, but you may have heard the guy's name. You ever heard of the Beatles, Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney has a date in there.
Yes, he does.
Church, I think, opened it. But, no, we're excited to be going into the Pinnacle. The VIP premium seating went on sale Tuesday. Today's Thursday. So the pre-sale's going till Sunday night at midnight, then general on sale on Monday. So, yeah. Joe, I got all that out of you.
Yeah, I was proud of you. Yeah, you're a salesman. You know what to do. What a night, though. I mean, because Thanksgiving, people coming into town. Look, I love my family. I love my son. We don't want to sit around with nine other people, right?
Exactly.
Let's go have fun.
I have told folks, and I've done some media already on this, in that if you don't get your tickets earlier, it's going to sell out because, you know, Thanksgiving Eve, everybody comes in. Nashville's a hot spot. I don't have to tell you. There's a lot going on, and then there's all the families in. So, yeah, it's back in the day, we used to have Thanksgiving specials. I've wrestled on Thanksgiving night in Nashville many, many times before your son's time,
right.
Way back in the day. But, yeah, it's a special night.
And wrestling, doesn't matter what company, pro wrestling is hotter than ever. Ooh. I feel like the business, and as somebody that has been in the business literally his whole life, you'd probably agree with this, is it's just awesome. Like any product, you turn it on TV or you go to an event, it has been so much fun.
Well, you know, I'll say this diplomatically. Everything now you can kind of turn and say, there's a little pro wrestling in that. Not going to get political here, but our current president is in the same Hall of Fame that I'm in.
Yeah, so, that's true. That is true.
But it goes without saying. I mean, you know, we're talking about it. I work for AEW. We're bringing it to town. But WWE going on ESPN, I mean, come on. You're an affiliate of it. It doesn't really get any bigger than the world we're living in now. Professional wrestling is on TNT, TBS, USA, Netflix. I'm going to leave a few out.
Max, you guys are going to be on Max.
Yeah, we're on Max. Our pay-per-view start. We're in Toronto next week. We just got back from London, set a record at the O2. The most tickets ever. Yeah, we did. Look at Joe. We were just talking about Wembley. But O2, you know, all the crazy acts that have been in there through the years. I literally did a pre-show. We call it Zero Hour. Our event was Forbidden Door. The most tickets ever sold in that arena for a combat sport. I did a pre-show with two of the folks. I was 9 rows from the top, and I'm not kidding you. This table, probably times maybe 3, we were sitting, the cameraman was sitting there, and we walked out, and the railing, I said, I don't think that's going to hit OSHA standards. Anyway, because they kept selling the seats. They oversold in some spaces.
Oh, that's so great.
So wrestling is, like you said, it's super hot, and guys like yourself that have followed it for a long, long time, it truly is amazing, the coverage, and to get it, I could talk forever about this, but when you get into the social media world and the numbers that views and clicks and downloads, we dwarf even, dare I say, NFL.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is I, you know, have grown up watching wrestling, so, like, I'll go back and I'll watch, you know, old Nitros or old Raws, you know, from the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars and stuff. And
he's like, one of those sickos.
Yeah, I am. I mean,
he is.
Like, you know,
loves it.
You're trying to make it as a country music artist and, you know, hitting people with the guitar and all that stuff. And, like, I watch that stuff, and it's still great. Like, it still stands the test of time. But then everything that's happening now. Now, what's funny is, because you have a lot of former wrestlers that are running things now, I've noticed a couple of storylines that like to be reused.
It's called the fundamentals.
Yeah, right. But you know what?
A chest pass still works. A bounce pass still works.
It works. That's the thing. Like, so it's still entertaining. And again, whether it's you guys at AEW or TNA or NWA or WWE or whatever, I think there's something for everybody. And that is what is really important as somebody that – grew up in the territory era, I think that's got to be cool to now see.
You know, one of the things that I've said, and that, you know, for years our business was quote-unquote closed and everything is hidden and very protected.
Kayfabe is alive.
Okay, all that kind of stuff. But now that the world is well aware that we are scripted entertainment, if you will, I think there's a whole nother level of respect. And it, you know, I was joking, but not joking. Politics, professional sports, you know, the touchdown celebrations, they're all kind of a takeoff on some type of strut, if you will, or all that.
Yeah.
But there really is a respect level that I think professional wrestling has gained through the years. And you look at, you know, Mike Tyson in the 90s stepped into our world, but now it's a who's who, Shaq, and I could go on and on with the celebrities, but wrestling is really, really no longer trying to get into pop culture. We are pop culture. And for, like you said, my grandmother, about four blocks from here, Joe, started into the business in 1946 selling wrestling tickets. So almost 80 years ago, that's how she got into the business. So she and my father, and today's actually my father's birthday, they'd both be smiling ear to ear to know how the business just continues to grow.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, for example, my son. He could probably name three or four NFL players. He can name about 75 wrestlers. And it's not just him. I'm telling you, Jeff, it's not just him. It's all these young kids that they love you guys and what goes on. And it's I know it's been that way. It's even more so now because you guys become so popular.
And, you know, the social media component and you know, Lord, I've been in capital raise, investor meetings, marketing meetings. You all, you know, like hey, Jeff – when somebody doesn't really understand what it's about, I kind of drill it down into, hey, we're part entertainment, we're part sport. Well, what do you mean that you're, you know, get into it? Well, we don't have seasons. I think that's a monumental
thing. Right.
Football is obviously, you know, it's a long season now, and the NFL's done a great job of making it 12 months out of the year. But, you know, we're not seasonal. We're 52 weeks a year. We're on – I've been in people's homes next year, Joe believe it or not, young man over there, will be my 40th year. And so there's a lot of folks who have literally watched me 40 years. I've been in their home. And so when you have that kind of FaceTime, if you will, pardon the pun, but people have seen it, so they get to know the personalities and social media
pulls
the curtain back and Instagram and, you know, you just – I was mentioning that when you look at all of our aggregated numbers of social media – it is truly mind-boggling, but that is a part of the notoriety. And I have a 10-year-old kid coming up an autograph line, and he literally can tell me, oh, in 95. I'm like, dude, you weren't even born.
Right. I would love to go through your phone. I bet you got so many contacts in there of some of the most
– Greg Pogue.
Amazing. Amazing people.
That's funny.
I was watching, I think it was a year ago, I'm flipping through Instagram, and there's The Rock talking about you. I mean, it was just – I mean, the community and the friendships and the bond you get throughout the years is – you don't see this probably anyplace else.
Well, that is – wrestling's kind of an anomaly thing. TMZ Sports just recently called me and said, hey, you got to give me a comment on Travis Kelce because of the engagement.
Yeah.
Me and, you know, the Swift family, and we go kind of way back. My daughters were in some of the videos on that. I told a story, and it's just they've kind of run with it. It's in People and U.S. Magazine and all kind of stuff. But it is all forms of entertainment somewhere, somehow, kind of get in the melting pot of professional wrestling.
Right.
I mean – Bad Bunny wrestled a few years ago. But, I mean, he did a phenomenal job. Logan Paul.
Yeah, he can work, man.
We could go on and on at the different celebrity.
Jelly Roll.
Man, our local dude here.
Yeah.
From L.A., Lower Antioch.
Yeah.
And, have you picked him up? Have you tried to pick him up?
No. Okay. I'm going to leave that to others.
Yes. I think One thing I was going to ask you that's so cool, and I put you in this category, of guys that have been in the business, you said 40 years, reinventing yourself over and over and over again. I look at you and all the different characters that you've had. You go back, you mentioned the 10-year-old going back to 95 with, you know, with the long hair and the country music with My Baby Tonight, going to Don't Piss Me Off and working with Owen and all that stuff into WCW. Chris Jericho has reinvented himself seven times, it seems. Now you got Cope, Adam Copeland, Edge, that's with you guys. I don't know how you guys do that, because you get so locked into a character that everybody knows for so long, and then pull the change, and people are still locked in.
In a way, it's maybe a blessing or a curse. I mean, I'm one of five kids, and I'm the only one from a young kid that really loved it. And to this day, I love professional wrestling more today than when I got in it. And you're like, no way. I've got five kids, so that'll keep you young. But I think Jericho, Copeland, there's whoever you want to name kind of in that pool. The one common thread we have, we really still do love it. We absolutely have a passion for it. So if you love something and care about it, you follow it. I'm a sports junkie. I just had a great lunch with some folks that are pretty famous. But we were kind of talking about it. You just got to love it. And so I'm dialed in. I did a show Sunday over in Salisbury, North Carolina, and they said, hey, will you say a few words? And I meant it sincerely when I opened it up. I was a wrestling fan long before I ever wrestled. And so I'm a fan at heart. And I think that is the thing that differentiate. I love it. I absolutely love it. I watch it as much as often and drives Karen crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. You talked about wrestling in Wembley and the O2 and in London. Where's the one place you've wrestled where you had to pinch yourself? Like, oh, my God, I'm doing this.
Oh, man. I always like to tell a story about Royal Albert Hall in London. That was a really unique setting.
Look at Joe. Right. I think of Tom Jones and all that and Jeff Jarrett now.
But there's kind of some venues like that. There's famous when I was 27 or 28, I just had a kind of moment of clarity when I got back to the hotel room and I was staying in it was a rundown Hilton in Newark. But I was a main event at Madison Square Garden. That was kind of a moment that I'm going, damn, long way from Nashville Sports Arena in South Nashville. But there's certain famous buildings. I won my first world title. You guys were like this, you're of age, in 2000. So a little building that we like to refer to, Michael's house, the United Center. There was some times that whether it's a car service or a rental car and you pull in the back of the United Center, I'm a basketball junkie. And to think, hey, Pippen and Rodman and Jordan and Phil Jackson and all these guys, and when I see some of those backstage when, you know, they won the championships at the United Center and you see kind of those kind of B-roll and on what was that documentary that we saw during COVID of Jordan?
Or The Last Dance?
The Last Dance. Some of those clips on there, like, I've dressed exactly right there. So you talk about the pinch moments.
Yeah.
So United Center, MSG, there's a couple of venues around the world that are, to me, still very, very special.
Yeah, I caught a game last year in Memphis, and they're remodeling the Liberty Bowl, and they took section down. You can see the Mid-South Coliseum. And I sent Che, I was like, oh, my God, this is the best. I don't know all the reason I know the Mid-South Coliseum is because of guys like you and Lawler and those guys. And I was so excited to see that Coliseum.
And like what people – I'm not the youngest in the dressing room anymore.
Right.
But guys will ask me on the road, hey, Mid-South Coliseum, tell me about it. I said, you know, the Lawler matches and all that kind of stuff. But the cool thing is that building, you know, Elvis – snuck in the back door to watch wrestling in that building, and I can take you to, you know, those kind of deals. That
cool.
A lot of history in that building.
That's good.
What you go going back to the first time you won the world title? It was big gold belt,
big gold.
And I have one replica championship belt, and it's that one.
Oh,
because
I love it.
that was always the one. That's Ric Flair's, like that, you know, all those things. So when you held that for the first time as the champion, what was that?
It goes without saying, and I, you know, well, kids are different today, I'll just say this, but in my generation, and I think still to this day, anybody who actually says, I want to wrestle, I think in the very core is, you want to be world champion one day. I think when you enter into the business, and then you may have your expectations tempered, but on some level, it's either world or a tag champ, but I wanted to be world champ. I grew up And my champion, obviously, was Jerry Lawler. But on the big world stage, you know, it was a Flair, a Harley Race, those guys that I just, you know, emulated or thought in my mind, man, if I could. And when I won it, it goes without saying, yes, my mind went right through it that, man, I'm world champ. So, yeah, it is kind of a surreal moment. It's a business. Thank God my grandmother, most importantly, my dad, would really drill into me, son, this is a business first and foremost. But there still are those, you know, kind of milestone moments where you really enjoy some personal satisfaction because it ain't easy. And I'm not, I don't want to tell you guys, I'm not 6'4 and Adonis and all that kind of stuff. But I pride myself on I learned my trade at an early age and really worked hard at it.
Who'd you beat for that? I forget.
DDP.
DDP. Will you explain, for those who don't know, what your grandmother did and how vital she was to the world of wrestling?
Oh, man, I love to tell the story because it is surreal to really think in 1946, she was a single mom. My grandfather went to war. He came home, but he didn't actually come to the house.
Right, I get it.
So she stayed a single mom. And had two kids, and she needed a second job. And right over on 4th Avenue, she went into a shoe store, and there was two signs outside, and it said for sale and wrestling tickets. Help wanted and wrestling tickets for sale. And she went into the owner, can I help you? And she said, yeah, I saw your sign. He said, which one? She said, both. So she started selling wrestling tickets in 46, wow. But worked her way up to what we would call a CFO. And so Goulash Welch Wrestling in Nashville, she ran the back office. And then my dad was a middle school and then high school and hanging around. And he started promoting shows, which then obviously segued into him wrestling and promoter. But she literally changed the trajectory of her entire family and got us into the wrestling business. And
that's great.
I'm still doing it today.
Good. AEW Dynamite and Collision coming to the Pinnacle here in Nashville Wednesday, November 26th. The pre-sale is going on right now.
AEW Tix. T-I-X. AEWTix.com. Pre-sale right now.
And the general public will go on sale Monday. So it's going to be cool. Can you stick around for another segment?
I'd love to.
All right. We got to talk more
right
wrestling.
On.
With Jeff Jarrett, Double J joins us here on the show. We'll have more from the Omni coming up next. 102.5 The Game. Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Coming up November 26th, the day before Thanksgiving, AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision at the Pinnacle, downtown Nashville. The pre-sale going on now. AEWTix.com is where you can go for that. And then general public goes on sale Monday. Jeff Jarrett is with us. I do have to ask you, Hulk Hogan passing away unexpectedly. I mean, he was obviously the icon, everything that you say about him in professional wrestling. If there is no Hulk Hogan, who knows what this business looks like today and what he and Vince did back in the 80s. But you said you went to the service for Hulk, and I know you worked with him. And maybe it wasn't always good, but the Hulkster certainly left an impact on the business.
Oh, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, a flood of emotions kind of came over. And when he passed, look, you didn't obviously – very unexpected. I was in Chicago right there at O'Hare at the Hilton and walked in from a workout and turned on Fox. It just kind of happened. So, yes, out of the blue because of Real American Freestyle Wrestling. He was out working a lot, promoting, yeah, all kind of stuff. And when the news came down, and, you know, obviously tragic, and I don't know if you got a chance to see a special that he did, but all the different surgeries. He's had health issues, not major health issues, but he's had a lot of surgeries. And so, and he's one of those guys you always, okay, he'll bounce back. But very unfortunate situation, but a lot of it came to light. And look, he had some not so much red letter days, and I hate that social media kind of poured into that a little bit there, but that's life. But I would give anything for people to have the ability, because the service was really cool. When Nick reached out and said, hey, Jeff, and we'd like for you to come, I thought it was really cool. So I got a chance to not just pay a lot of respect to Hulk, but I felt my father and my grandmother and, you know, Hulk and my father had a unique relationship because he came to town late 70s, and my dad really helped him in the early years. But, man, the service was really special. Vince spoke, others spoke, but I kid you not, I want to share this because not every, they really didn't make the news rounds and all that. And I'm like, hey, man, if I've ever asked, if people could have heard the last 10 to 12 to 14 minutes, because they had all the different guest speakers and they read a letter from President Trump and his son, Nick, spoke. And it was really, really touching. But when his pastor got up and gave, I call it a message part, and meant almost kind of part of a Hulk's testimony.
Yeah.
Because they lowered the lights and put a light where he sat, and in church, even as his church, and you know, like he missed one Sunday the last year of his life, but he'd gone there 2 years, and he just kind of talked about who Terry was, and you know, knew he was a flawed human being, but man, it was a really cool testimony. And that pastor, you know, he's not in the business, and he's not going up there, and I hate to say it, but, you know, promos or this or that and all this. But he really spoke from the heart, and I wish the world could hear that, because, you know, everybody has different relationships at different times. And I've said this, Hulk doesn't have a peer as far as handling your own business, your own brand. I mean, he exploded in the 80s, and he really drove the ship in so many different ways, movies. He was a gigantic star in Japan before Hulkamania took off. He had really paved his way, but he also paved his dues. And then Hulkamania ran, and then the NWO era, and then the resurgence. I mean, just on and on and on. And then he just branded himself and all kind of stuff. So super successful businessman. But his personal side, you know, was very, very unique. And look, he would admit, you know, the reality show, there was he like all of us, he really faced some real tough times in his life, but at the end of his life, he really, I believe, had his priorities straight, gave himself to the Lord, and really woke up every day figuring out how he could serve him best.
What I thought was really telling is, and you just mentioned, like, you know, whether it's the career or the personal life, there were people in the business that may not have liked him or had some sort of beef or whatever, but everybody showed that respect and realized how important he was to what WWE, AEW, WCW, any league, any business is now. It doesn't happen. And, you know, Vince gets some of that too, obviously. Your dad gets a lot of that too. I mean, like, there are others. But I thought that was really cool that anybody that may have had, you know, any animosity with him at some point in time was like, hey, you know, I respect the hell out of him for what he's done for the business.
He paved a lot of roads. It goes without saying, you know, you could, and I do agree there. It's a 1-2 punch. Without Hulk, there's no Vince, and without Vince, there's no Hulk.
Yeah.
In essence, and you know, neither one of them would probably like me saying that.
Right.
But they,
now,
they
hold on, brother.
That's right. They were an incredible combination, and just how they worked together, and what they just kicked doors down in so many ways. And if you look at today's world of professional wrestling, I just don't think it really happens. Everybody has a time and place, but man, oh man, what a successful run he had. And when you look at the box office, and I've said this, you know, Taker had a long run, Cena had a long run, but as far as selling hard tickets or pay-per-view buys, there's nobody in his stratosphere.
Oh, man.
He's just right up there.
Jeff Jarrett's with us. When you go to something like that, do you think about your legacy, your mortality? I mean, I think I do. When I go to a funeral, I do that. I would only imagine. In that setting with your peers, does that cross your mind?
I don't know that, you know, you're going to get me morbid here because I don't like to think about that. None of us like to think about passing away. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, it'll be 8 years in October since I've had a drink of alcohol. When I hit rock bottom, I figured out that rock was God, and it you know, what a wake up call. And since that time, I really look at my life completely through a different lens.
Good.
And try to figure out, you know what, it ain't about Jeff. It's how can I serve him best and serve others and do all that. So if my legacy is anything, I truly, you know, we've talked about it, but for me to be in decent shape going into my 40th year, I don't take that at heart. I'm very grateful for that. And so I try to pass that along to any kid, I call them kids, anybody who wants to get in the industry that I've given my heart and soul to, is that, hey, man, I try to give you all the advice I will give you. I don't like to pour it on somebody, but if they're going to ask, and man, you've that's what I want my legacy is, that he gave back to the business. Because when I look at my grandmother and really thought about when you hear the cool stories, and I can't tell you how many times that I've heard through the years, hey, your grandmother started a savings account for this wrestler, and this wrestler saved money and taught her this, and they bought a farm, and on that farm we built a house, and then a kid built a house, like affecting generations. And I know I've had the same things. You know, my dad did that. My dad had an eye for talent. He knew how to develop talent, and it changed lives in a lot of ways and a lot of, you know, all that. So if I can be a tenth of successful is how they've really affected people's lives in a real positive way.
Good.
That's where my mind's at.
Good.
Who have you enjoyed? You know, AW has a lot of young talent, up and comers, guys that have now been established, MJF, what have you. Who have you enjoyed working with through this run?
I mean, there's one that just jumps off the page. Last year, and you probably halfway know the story, but, you know, me and Owen were partners. He tragically passed away in 99. His widow stayed away from wrestling, but Tony Khan and AEW reached out, and they have the Owen tournament, which is kind of, I mean, just, it's like storybook writing to me. So, you know, the Owen Invitational, my former partner, they invited me. I got to be in the tournament. They sat me down, and I kind of told what it meant to me. And then Adam Hangman Page, our current champion, had been off for a while. He came back as a wild card. So I got to wrestle Hangman Page in the opening round, and that was the first time I locked up with him. And I can tell you this, I get literally goosebumps. I just know when I've done it long enough, I know when I have chemistry with somebody on a scale of 1 to 10, at a 10 or a 5 or a 2 or whatever it may be. And then sometimes you have to develop and work on it. I had an instant chemistry with them, and we had a series of matches. We had in Arthur Ashe up in New York City. We had a strap match and all that. So that guy has all the tools. His head is in the right place. That goes so far. He's really dialed in. So he's, you know, I'm not saying that just because he's the current champion. I had instant chemistry with him. I got a lot of respect for his work ethic. And, you know, when you my dad's on the entertainment side. My mom was on the educator side. Hangman Page was a school teacher before he got into the business. And so when you look at, oh, wow, he kind of followed his passion. He taught 5th grade and 7th grade and something, I don't know, whatever it is. But he's like, hey, man, I can kind of do this. And so he started following his passion and quit teaching and full-time, and now he's world champ.
He's a good one.
So the Powerball is $1.7
billion. Whoa.
Right? So if I win, I'm going to build a Tojo Yamamoto statue.
Right on.
Where do we put it?
Oh, goodness.
Middle of pedestrian bridge? I'd put it in middle of Broadway.
Where was the, didn't he wrestle at the Hippodrome?
Oh, yeah.
Where was the Hippodrome?
It's down on west. It's where
the Hippodrome old. It's up in that area,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, they've docked it all down now, but it's by the interstate.
Yeah. So the
Tojo statue goes where?
You know what? That is a great question, but I just think a little culture in Nashville, you're going to crack up at this. And I don't know the name of it, but where we play soccer over at the sports arena, where the sports arena.
Geodis Park.
Yeah. Geodis Park.
Yep.
Maybe there's an entrance way we put Tojo because his head's like a soccer ball.
Right.
And you can.
I love it. Why not, right?
And that's where the sports arena was.
That's so, I'm dying it into the sports arena. Yeah. I got photos when they demo it. I had people out there send me photos when they demo it. But I think a statue of Tojo right there at the park.
Hell yeah. Right.
I will tell you, the best wrestling match that I have ever seen, like live and in person.
Oh, boy.
You gave me tickets to, so thank you. NWA 70, Cody and Nick Aldis.
Right on.
Tore the house down.
Yep.
And, like, they came out in the audience.
Was that at Bridgestone?
No, it was at the sports arena.
It was. Oh! It was the last big show there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you were there. Flair was on it.
They called me to promote it. And that's behind the scenes. But anyway, that's just one of those things, like, man, in sobriety, like, talk about a pinch moment that all of a sudden, all in, the precursor to AEW and all that, so they get to have the rematch, and Billy Corgan owned the brand, and he said, hey, man, what would you think about if you promoted NWA 70 in Nashville? I said, at the sports arena? He said, well, that's kind of what I said, do it. So,
love it.
I was, quote-unquote, the last promoter of the last big show in there. So yeah, it was a hell of a match.
It was good
callback there.
It was an awesome event too. AEW coming to the Pinnacle again, November 26th with AEW Dynamite in Collision. Tickets on sale to the general public on Monday, but go to AEWTix.com right now. Now, do you need a code?
Nope. Go. You'll see AEWTIX.com. Go. They're not going to be around for long. Pinnacle is an intimate setting, as they say. Acoustics are great, but no, all kidding aside, you better get them now.
I want to end with this because it's on, you know, you guys are on TBS and TNT. You spent a lot of time on both of those networks back in the day.
Yes, I have.
With WCW. And, you know, I know there's been documentaries made about, you know, there were people in the network that didn't like wrestling, all that stuff. You guys have flourished on TBS and TNT.
Huge.
And to me, as an old school wrestling guy, wrestling belongs on the Turner Network.
Yep.
So I know that's got to be special to kind of go full circle for you.
I'm going to do a podcast. I'll get the cheap plug
yeah,
in.
Yeah, throw it in. You and Conrad.
New episode drops every Tuesday. But, you know, Tony Schiavone is a part of our podcast network, What Happened When. But for Tony to be calling wrestling, he literally started April 6th. I started April 6th of 1986. He started April 6th of 1985. So for him to be calling professional wrestling on TBS 40 years after he originally called it, it is just a staple, and it's a lot of good vibes in so many ways. So we love the network. They love us. Great partnership. So I appreciate you throwing that out
well,
there.
Well, the first time I turned it on and heard Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross, I was like, I'm here. That's awesome. Jeff, thanks so much for
doing
this.
Thank you, guys.
It's good to catch up with you, Joe.
Yeah,
we'll do it again soon. Again, November 26th at the Pinnacle, AEW Dynamite and Collision. Get your tickets, AEWTix.com. We will come back with celebrity birthdays. And what day is it? Live from the Omni here on 102.5 The Game.